if you're not conscious of what you're thinking, what you're saying and what you're doing, you're not going to be able to change anything because you're not aware of it. So that's definitely the first step, becoming conscious of your actions.
On today's episode, we have Sarah Grimberg, the host of a Life of Greatness podcast. It is such a pinch me moment that I had her on Self-Dom. We talk all about mindset, meditation, how to find your purpose, getting out of a dark place, and so much more. I know you're all going to love this episode, so enjoy. We've had some technical difficulties, but we've made it.
It's all part of podcasting, isn't it, Dom?
Yeah. I mean, I'm here with an absolute veteran of the podcast industry. I'm so excited to have you, Sarah Grimberg, on Self-Dom today. This is a serious pinch me moment right now. So thank you so much.
It's an absolute pleasure to be with you.
So a little bit about Sarah. She is the brains behind the podcast, A Life of Greatness, and she is a pioneer in the health and wellness space. Sarah shares her love for storytelling by interviewing some of my favorite people, the most inspirational people, Robin Sharma, Esther Perel, Andrew Huberman, to say a few. So I just can't believe you're on my podcast right now. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I also feel like we were just chatting off mic for a second, and obviously we've just met right now, but I can already tell you're just so down to earth, so humble, so patient while the mic wasn't working. So I know this is going to be a really good conversation with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, as I said to you, I've been through all the tech difficulties before with guests on my end, so I understand how it feels, and we got there in the end.
Yeah. So thank you so much. So I wanted to start by just hearing a little bit about your story and your journey into this wellness space.
So it's an interesting ride, my journey into the wellness space. Basically, you know, I always had an interest from a young age in spirituality. It was just something that really fascinated me. I didn't really know much about it, but whenever anything was brought up about it, my eyes would kind of light up. So I knew I had an interest in that space. And then it lay dormant for many years until I was about 18, 19. And I thought to myself, I really want to pursue this more. I want to learn more about spirituality and the life beyond what we can see with our eyes. And I thought to myself, I want to study the Kabbalah. So I found a Kabbalah teacher in Melbourne, where I'm from, and we used to sit together once a week, and he would teach me bits from the Kabbalah, and I would really enjoy that. We would have lengthy discussions, and it was amazing. And then again, you know, life happens, you get different jobs. I got jobs in marketing and this and that, and oh, sorry that my dog's barking.
Don't worry.
So I spoke about this with year 12 girls who I went to talk to at my old school that I went to about having this knowing or having a feeling that there's something within you that knows that you're, you know, what you really want to do. You might not know your exact purpose, but there's a flicker, a little flame. And I had that within me for working in entertainment from a very young age. And so I was doing all these other jobs, and it wasn't kind of really where I wanted to go. And then, a long story short, I ended up getting a job in entertainment, working within radio. And I loved it. And I was a producer for a long period of time. And then I got to do the breakfast show. I was the producer on the breakfast show. And one thing with breakfast shows is you have to wake up at 3 a.m. and you just keep working and working. And, you know, because the show starts at 6 a.m., but you're prepping, you need to know what's going on in entertainment and what's going on in sports and news. So it's a very high cortisol job. You're always on the go. So you're always in that fight or flight. And, you know, as the producer, you're getting text messages at all hours. And at the time, it was the most money that I ever got paid. And it was such a prestigious role, doing the breakfast radio role, because that is the best producer role you can get. And I was actually doing it for the Sydney market. This is so convoluted, but it was being done from Melbourne, which sounds so strange. So it was the first year that we were recording into Sydney, broadcasting into Sydney, but we're actually all doing it from Melbourne because the talent was in Melbourne. Anyway, I had a 2 and a 4-year-old at the time which is such a young age. And I'm waking up at 3 a.m. and obviously going to work, especially when it's dark. You know, in Melbourne, it's freezing during winter. And I was exhausted. I'd leave and I'd be picking them up from kinder and creche. And, you know, when they're 2 and 4, they need full attention. They can't just go and do things themselves. So then I'd be, my whole life was just exhausting. It was absolutely exhausting. And it was interesting, again, I'll bring up the money thing, because I was earning all this money and I was like using none of it. I was so unhappy. And then it got to this stage where I just got the worst flu. And this is before COVID. I got the worst flu and I woke up and I could barely lift my head from the pillow. And I texted saying I couldn't come into work. And later that morning, when I got some more energy, I walked to the couch and basically knew then that like this was at that point, the darkest moment. Like I was so down in the dumps. And I remember thinking to myself, I feel horrendous. I am so tired, because when you're going doing a job like that, you're not sleeping properly because you're worried about missing your alarm. You know, you've got the kids to be concerned about, making sure they're okay, worrying about whatever content's going to be on the show that day, getting a million messages from people who you work for, making sure, you know, you're managing this aspect and that aspect. There was a lot of pressure on that show, as there is any breakfast show. And I thought to myself, this is awful. How have I done the job that I really wanted to do and I was so excited about, yet I feel the worst I've ever felt in my life? And everything was kind of crumbling around me as well. You know, what you feel on the inside ends up reflecting on the outside. And it was literally, you know, they call these moments dark night of the souls. And it was in that moment where I thought to myself, I can make a decision here to change my life. And I don't even know where it came from. I just thought, I need to help myself in this moment. Otherwise, I'm just going to go on this like terrible roller coaster that's going to end up very badly. And so I did. It was like I made the decision that I was going to start doing personal development work. I was going to look more into why, you know, some people were happier than others. I started heavily researching and writing about mindset. That really interested me. I studied neuroscience as far as like texts and things like that. And I just loved it. And the thing was, right, and I think this is a really important point to say, I wasn't just like reading these books and I wasn't just knowing the information. I was actually embodying everything I was reading. So, for example, meditation. I tried that before and it didn't work for me. And, you know, this idea of the monkey mind, my mind was going at 100 miles an hour. But I found a meditation that worked for me. And then I made sure I did it every day. I started studying manifestation. And then I started studying visualization. So I started practicing that every single day. And as things, I became very conscious about the way that I was thinking, what I was saying to myself, my inner world, the words that I was saying to others. I was started to become very aware of who I was surrounding myself with. I literally created a new life for myself. That old Sarah left that time, that dark night of the soul, and a new Sarah emerged. And with that came a lot of changes. And it's interesting, because when you move into the unknown, which I basically was doing, and you leave the known, some things can start to fall apart. And it was funny because I get a call from my boss. The one thing that I couldn't let go of was that stupid job that I hated, which it sounds so bizarre. It's like, if you hate it, why don't you let it go? But I'd been at the company for 7 years. I was like, you know, I hate it. And I'd complain to everyone that I hated it, but I just would not leave. Basically, the job ended up, I got asked to move to Sydney and I was, no, I'm not going to move to Sydney because I've got young kids and it's just not going to happen. And so the company was like, well, we really think you're amazing. We'd love you to move into our podcasting arm. And, you know, the rest is history. I moved into their podcasting arm. I started producing some podcasts. Within 6 months, I was so heavily studying this work and teaching it to people. I thought to myself, why wouldn't I start a podcast about this? I know so much about it. Plus, I've been a producer for years. I've got a lot of connections. I know how to run a radio show now. I know how to run podcasts. This won't be hard. And it just kind of took off from there. And it's been 5 years. And I, you know, now I'm a mindset coach to a lot of athletes and executives. I do a lot of writing and keynote speaking on the topics of mindset and living a life of greatness. And it's just been the most fulfilling journey I've ever, ever had. But it was that moment where I knew that I had to make that change. And when I did, I dived in headfirst and just immersed myself in all the personal development work I could. And I haven't looked back since.
Wow, I love that so much. And I feel like for a lot of the people I've spoken to, it's like they get near this rock bottom and that's when they, you know, the wheels start turning. Okay, what am I going to do? And they dive deep into something. Two things came into my mind when you were talking. Firstly, I'd love if you could just define Kabbalah for people who don't know what that is.
Yeah, sure. So every religion has a spiritual component to it, and Kabbalah is the spiritual component of the Jewish religion of Judaism. So, yeah, that's basically what Kabbalah is.
Yeah, beautiful. And what I was thinking about is you were obviously going through all this change in your life to become your truest self. How did you navigate that change? Because I'm sure, you know, moving career paths and, you know, having this evolution, did you drop off some friends? What with your routine change? How did you navigate that?
That's a great question. So a lot had to change, right? Because as I mentioned, if we're in the known, we're in the worn out repetition of our past. And a lot of people complain about being in the known. They'll, you know, like I was about that terrible job. Oh, this is crap, da, da, da. But they don't do anything about it because they'd rather be in suffering than be in unknown territory. And it's interesting, we know this from psychology, that we become used to those negative emotions and they're almost like a drug. So when we don't have them, we, even though we think we don't want them, we're not used to not having them, so we'll find anything to worry about or anything to be concerned about so we can get a hit of that negative emotion again. So one of the key things I realized, because I used to worry the whole time, you know, worried about anything. So let my parents worry a bit. So, you know, a lot of the time you'll take on what you saw when you were young. And, you know, most people worry because they just want the best. So I would just worry about the smallest things. And I realized that that was making my life crazy. And there's this beautiful quote by the poet Rumi that says, "Why do you stay in jail when you know that you have the keys," basically, "to get out?" Which means like you have the keys to be able to leave what's going on in your mind, but you choose to stay there with the door shut, but the door's open. And it's so beautiful. And it really, you know, it really comes together with what I'm saying. So basically I had to become very conscious. I became, as I said, very conscious of my thoughts, very conscious of my words, very conscious of my actions. And watching your thoughts is hard, very hard. But when you train yourself to do it, and we know that through neuroplasticity, that the brain rewires, right? But it only will start rewiring if you're constantly changing it. So I understood that I would change a negative thought to a positive thought. And you might have to do that 50 to 100 times a day. But the more that you stop worrying or having that negative loop in your mind, and the more that you're putting it towards a positive, the more the mind starts to rewire in that positive manner. And the more I kept doing it, the more feedback I saw that it was actually working. And yes, the people who I surrounded myself with changed. Because I really kind of thought, who do I want in my life? Who can I give myself to? Who supports me on my journey? There were things that really did kind of change within that. And that was okay. I knew, and I keep learning that sometimes, like, we just need to let go of old ways, old habits, old people in our life to be able to keep moving forward. And that can, as I said, be really hard because sometimes people think that they want something new and different, but they just can't let go of what they know. And one of the things was that when I started doing my podcast 5 years ago and I started teaching a lot of this work, one thing that was very important to me was I am literally going to live and breathe what I speak about. I see enough people who talk about this stuff, but they kind of don't allow that to be who they are in their everyday life. And I thought, no, if I'm teaching it, then I'm living it. So now when things happen, it doesn't faze me as much because I have a wider understanding of, you know, a door may close for another one to open. And if you embody all of these good traits that come with personal development, then your journey is always going to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and I find it also incredibly inspiring because you said you were a mum of two going through all of this. And I think a lot of people, oh, you know, you've got the commitments of your children and the financials of that. And, you know, it works out in the end when you put that one foot in front of the other. So I love hearing that from you. And I'm so happy for you that it all worked out exactly how it was meant to. To touch on meditation, you obviously, I would love to hear, what meditation do you do? What works for you? And what were the changes you saw in your life when you stuck to that routine?
Yes, meditation was one of the things that, you know, helped save me in that dark time, and it's something that I do nearly every single day. And I do meditation not only because I know the amazing benefits of meditation, I do meditation because I actually love it. I love getting into that quiet space. I love getting into my heart. I love visualizing things in meditation that I want to create and draw to me through mental imagery. Meditation for me is just an absolute sacred space. And I mean, I do all different meditations. I sell meditations on my website. I do a lot of that. You know, the manifestation ones, I created one of them as well that I often do that has a mental imagery component to it. But anything that centers me back to love, I find so beautiful. And especially when you're going through a challenging time or there are things in your life that might not be going the way that you had planned, and that happens to everyone. Doesn't matter how far on your personal development journey you are, I can let you know that there'll always be hurdles in life because that's life. And that's why we're here. We're not here for it to always be rosy and peachy as much as we think that we would love that. We're here to see the light and the shade. So meditation is a beautiful space, especially if there's anything that's unnerving me and I can go into my heart and allow myself to be centered and more in a loving space. I like doing meditation in the morning. It's just a beautiful way to set your day up. Something that I do with meditation, which, you know, the habit that I've gotten into with it is like I wake up and it'll literally be the first thing that I do. I go into my study where I have a beautiful meditation chair. It's nice to have a sacred space to meditate in, and it's nice for it to be the same space if that's possible for you, and a private space that's away from people and noise and smells and things like that, and just go into that sacred space. I do it, as I said, every morning because I like to start my day like that. I feel that it sets you up to have a wonderful day. I don't check my phone or turn it on before I go into my meditation. A lot of the meditation apps or, you know, things that like meditations you buy on websites, you don't need to turn your phone on. You just download them to your phone and you can still listen to them without turning it on. So that's what I love about meditation. That's a bit of the meditations I listen to and my routine with meditation.
I love that. If someone was starting their meditation journey, you did mention you have meditations on your site. And if someone was saying they were time poor, how would they go about starting this journey with meditation? What would you recommend?
Well, I did devise the meditations for a lot of people that are starting out and who are time poor. So I've got a 10-minute meditation for the morning. Everyone's got 10 minutes. So everyone can, you can find 10 minutes to scroll on your phone. Everyone's got 10 minutes. And really, if you've got kids, you just wake up 15 minutes earlier and make sure 10 minutes of that is doing a meditation. I have one for the morning. And then I also have a 10-minute meditation for nighttime as well to help calm those thoughts that might be going through your head. And it's a really beautiful one to allow you to then go into a nice sleep. And then I have a longer 20-minute one, which is all honed around manifestation and mental imagery and that sort of thing. So if you're getting into meditation for the first time, I try and do some short ones, see if you like them. As I said, find a quiet space. It's always good to meditate around the same time every day. So if you do it in the morning, try and keep doing it in the morning. If you do it at night, then keep doing it at night. Or if you do it twice a day, then that's great as well. But just try and be consistent with what you're doing. Every meditator says to me when they first meditate, "Oh, I've got a monkey mind, I can't concentrate." I can tell you, everyone has that. Everyone, when they start meditating, has that. So don't feel that you're any different or that your mind's not working in the way that you'd want to or meditation isn't for you. If you haven't found a meditation that works for you, then just try and find some others. There are that many out there. Don't give up because you found one or two that you didn't like.
I think that's really interesting because in the modern society with exercise, I feel like people are like, okay, you try different exercises to find one you like. And it's the exact same with meditation. From everyone I've spoken to, it opened my eyes that there's so many different types of meditation out there because I was doing the same Ayurvedic style of meditation. And since interviewing different teachers, I've discovered body scanning and just guided ones on apps, and it's completely changed how I view it. And I feel the same as you. I wake up, I go in my sunny spot, I do my meditation, and it's a highlight of my day. And one of the big things I want to share with the podcast by having amazing guests on like you is that it should be something you enjoy. It should be something you're excited for. It shouldn't feel like a chore.
I totally agree. That's why I like to say to people, I meditate not because I know of all the good benefits of meditation. I obviously like that as well. That's an extra on top of the fact that I actually just love sitting in that quiet space. And even if it is a guided meditation, just having my thoughts slow down. And it's interesting, you know, because people look at meditation and they think it's just a quiet space, but it's actually quite dynamic in the sense that your subconscious mind gets to come out, right? And when your subconscious mind comes out, that can sometimes be overwhelming when you first start because there might be limiting beliefs or things that you didn't even know that you're worried about that start coming to the surface. And that's completely okay because just let them rise, acknowledge them for what they are and let them pass. And it's beautiful because you can kind of clear out this old debris that might be lying inside of you. But then also you have these amazing ideas that you just would never have come, that you may never have heard because you're working in your conscious mind when you're not meditating and things are going at 100 miles an hour and you have the noise of the world. But then you go into meditation where the mind is still, and then suddenly these wonderful ideas come to fruition and you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, wow, that's a great idea. Things that are just bubbling down below that you don't have the time to hear. So it can be a wonderfully dynamic space. And I can tell you, I've had amazing ideas when I've been in meditation because I've been able to hear myself.
Yeah, that's so true. And I feel the exact same. So thank you for sharing that. I wanted to touch on your podcast. As I've mentioned, you've had some of the most inspiring, knowledgeable guests on there. What are some characteristics that they seem to all have in common?
Yeah, I think the main thing that the people I have on my podcast, I would say 99.9% of them have had some sort of dark night of the soul, like I spoke about myself, have had some sort of rock bottom where they've turned their life around and made huge changes to be able to be these thought leaders or New York Times bestselling authors or big podcasters. And it all came from having that self-reflection when they were going through that hard time. I think a lot of them step into the unknown. They know that when you step into the unknown, it's the field of all possibilities. I would say those would be the two common themes of people that come on the podcast.
And I think, like, what a dream that you get to interview so many people. How do you go about finding these guests and how did it start? When was the first time you got someone on the pod you were so excited about?
I think, look, as far as getting them, I think probably like you, I'm very much very into personal development work. And after a while, you just kind of know everyone in that industry. So you'll get an idea of the sort of person that you want on. And then people are always saying, oh, you should have this one or you should have that one. And so I'm very knowledgeable about what's going on So that's the starting point. I'm also very fussy about who I have on too. And we get a lot of amazing requests every day for people wanting to come on the podcast. So unfortunately, we can't have everyone on by any means, but we've had a great stable of different people on the podcast. So that would be the first thing.
Who was the first big guest that you had on that you were super excited about?
So the first big guest I had on is someone called Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Oh my God, probably, amazing.
Yeah, in my first series that I did 5 years ago, he was one of the first guests that I had on. So I would say that was pretty amazing, and he's been on after that since another time. So he was the first big guest, and now they just all come on and I'm kind of used to it. So it doesn't wow me as much as what it used to. But it's still always so amazing when they do come on.
I mean, I feel like someone who loves self-development, as you said, being able to have these one-on-one conversations, it's just incredible for your own learning and your own mentoring. So it's the perfect, sounds like the perfect job for you. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to touch on jealousy. You recently did an episode on this, and I think as women, we don't speak about it enough because it's almost like unattractive and unsexy to feel jealous, but I truly believe it's natural to feel jealousy. I wanted to touch on some of your advice that you said on this episode because I think the self-dumb community will really learn from it. What do you do when that jealousy arises in your life about someone close to you or someone you follow on Instagram? How do you navigate those thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because jealousy, I think, is probably one of the worst human traits. It drives people to do horrible things, and we see it in young kids. I have a daughter who's 9, and even in that, so young, when she tells me about things that happen at school, I can see a lot is coming from jealousy already at such a young age. So I think it's that whole idea that back in the caveman days, it was like every man for themselves, and if I don't get this, then no one will have, then I won't, I'll get hungry and all that kind of stuff. Rather than when you're in the personal development realm, you realize there's enough abundance for all of us. And when someone has something, you can also have it. So you look at the person and as more inspiration for what you want rather than look at them and, you know, want only negative things to happen to that person because you don't have it. So it's really changing that lack, like, jealousy is lack mentality. They have something that I don't have. And so I think if you're starting to feel that, you need to really reflect inside and go, what is it about that person that makes me feel this way? And when you look at that person and you really sit with that, then you think maybe they're doing something in their job that's really great. Okay, well, why don't I use them as someone that a role model that I can look at it, change the way you think about them rather than I'm jealous of them. They're now a role model. Wow, they did X, Y, and Z to be able to achieve that. How can I follow that path or do something like that to be able to get to where they have? You know, and we're all different. One thing is, you know, especially with career, a lot of people get a bit unnerved when others are doing better than them. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter how high up you are or what it is that you want to do in your field, there's always going to be someone that is achieved more, as there is going to be people that have achieved less. So really, you're always going to be climbing if you're trying to get to the top. There is no top, I can tell you that. So it's all about the journey, right? So if you're feeling those negative emotions towards someone, really it's about reframing them and looking at them as inspiration rather than jealousy. And then really taking that time to reflect on yourself and say, why do these negative emotions come up and what can I do to fix them?
Yeah, that's incredible advice. And I wanted to touch on, you said you have a daughter who's 9, and in the schooling system, is there anything out there that works on this self-development or self-love? And if not, do you want to see that with them growing up?
Look, I'm sure there is. I don't know about it yet. I've spoken to quite a few child educators and there is, you know, amazing things that we can do. I think the biggest thing is, and we learn this in, you know, when you kind of study neuroscience or personal development, is that before the age of 7, you're in your subconscious mind, right? From 1 to 7. During that time is where all our beliefs are formed. Our beliefs are formed from our caregivers. So if our caregivers, and then sometimes they do this not knowing, they're not doing it because they actually want have bad intent for you. They might say things to you like, you're not good at maths, or no, you'll never be good at basketball, or your hair doesn't grow the way that it will never get long, or whatever these negative traits are. They'll feed us with them, as I said, unknowingly. It could even be a mother who's constantly talking about her weight. Yes, she's not talking about it to her child, but she's talking about it to herself. The child is hearing, and therefore they're taking on everything that she's saying and her actions, which then gives them a negative view about their body. So that's why as adults and caregivers, we have to be very careful if we have children around us. So that's where your negative beliefs and self-limiting beliefs are formed. So I think one of the key things when you're raising children is to be very conscious of what you're saying to them, because you can either give them beliefs that are going to let them fly, like I am enough, I am worthy, which are the two biggest things that we don't feel like we are. If you're fueling that to your child when they're young, you're setting them up for success. And I can tell you too, through a lot of the clients that I do mindset coaching with, all of these negative beliefs can be changed. So don't think like, I came from a terrible environment, my parents did abuse me or whatever. I've seen the most shocking of shocking things, yet I've seen people absolutely flourish afterwards when they do the work. So as we know through neuroplasticity, and I mentioned earlier, is that the brain is able to change, but it changes through repetition. So I think it's really fueling our kids with these positive beliefs. Another beautiful thing that, you know, I interviewed a guy on the podcast the other day, and he was telling me about how when he was young, he met this woman who wasn't even a family member or anything. It was like a freak meeting in a shop, and she taught him the art of manifestation and visualization. And so that's something I've done with my children, but I thought to myself, I need to kind of revisit that, because using the power of your mind can take you anywhere you want. So being able to harness that at a young age, I think, just allows our young kids to have more awareness, be in more control of their thoughts, all those beautiful things. So I would say they were the key things. And obviously, kids model what you do. So being kind, that is a huge part of life. I mean, as an adult and as a child, children can be very funny with things like that. They know what kindness is, but they can be very mean. So I think that if you're teaching your child good morals and they're watching you and seeing how you interact with people, then, you know, they'll end up being a kind person as well.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know that from 0 to 7, that's when their subconscious mind is developed. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. And it just makes you realize how they're always just watching everything that you're doing, and they're watching your actions as well. That's why it's so important to show them good ways of living.
What are some simple tips if you're feeling like you're in that rock bottom area, maybe you've had some trauma in your life, just some simple tips that you would give to someone to kind of get out of that dark place? As you've said, you've seen people in the darkest of spaces soar.
Yeah, I think as I mentioned earlier, the first thing that it always comes down to is being conscious. So when we're conscious, we're able to make change. So if you're not conscious of what you're thinking, what you're saying, and what you're doing, you're not going to be able to change anything because you're not aware of it. So that's definitely the first step, becoming conscious of your actions. And then also wanting to change. This is a really interesting line, and I always say it to my coaching clients. For change to occur, you need to change. It sounds so basic, but a lot of people, they might come to coaching or they might go to a psychologist and they listen to everything they say and then they go back and don't do any of it. And then they wonder why nothing's happening. Well, nothing's happening because they're not doing anything to make change occur. So that's why I feel like I would want everyone to hear this, that if you want to change, you need to change, because change is not going to happen around you if you're doing the same things every day and you're doing the same bad habits every day. So that is a key thing. I think as we spoke about earlier, getting into some sort of meditation, it's just so beautiful. It's such a wonderful way to start your day or finish off before you go to bed, being able to clear those thoughts. I mean, if you're really, really at rock bottom, I would highly suggest seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist, whatever it is that suits you. One thing that I always say to people, and I think this is really key, you wouldn't keep reading a book if it was bad. You'd give up after a chapter or two. That's the same with health professionals. If you go to a psychologist and you're not gelling with them or you feel like you're not getting much out of it, then find someone else. It's like with meditation. One doesn't work for you. The second one doesn't work for you. There are a plethora of them out there. There are a plethora of psychologists, psychiatrists, and psychotherapists out there as well. And like any industry, you just have to gel with the right person. So don't give up if the first or second time were not good. Try and find someone else. I would also say, you know, get into a lot of personal development books or podcasts or whatever it is and start learning about the, you know, the ways to change thought patterns, how to be a happier person, how to overcome jealousy. Use the tools that are easily found around you. I mean, we have so much literature. And like I said, there are podcasts like I have. You listen to them in that you have. You listen to them for free. They're not even going to cost you anything. So we have so much more material now to be able to help our mental health than we ever had before. So there is so much stuff to do, and I hope some of those tips help people.
Yeah, it blows my mind how much information and knowledge we have at our fingertips. It's incredible. If you use social media and the online world in a positive way, you can grow so quickly because it's all there for you. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about what it was like 10 years ago, it was nothing like this, you know?
Yeah, in such a short space. It's, you mean, you started your podcast 5 years ago, which in the podcast industry is actually, you know, one of the early adapters, but 5 years isn't that long. And look how many podcasts are out there.
Oh my God, there's one for everyone.
Literally, there's everything. Well, you've given so much advice, but I always end the pod with the same question. And I think it's a good question because you have children. So I'd love to know what advice you would give to your younger self.
That is a great question. And I think I would say to myself, just keep on going and don't worry so much. Things are going to be okay. Like I said to you, my mind was my worst enemy when I was young. It really was. And I would worry about things that would never happen. I mean, beautiful Mark Twain said, most of the things that we worry about never come into fruition. And it's true, yet we waste so much time on it. And don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's when something really big happens in our life that is bad that we go, oh my God, I can't believe I was worried about something so small. My life was so good then and now look what's happened. Don't wait till something shocking happens. Realize that every day is a new day to start over again. What happened in the past is the past, but the only thing we have is the present because the future hasn't happened yet. So I think those would be the main things that I'd say to myself, like, just relax.
Hearing stories like yours and so many people, sometimes you think, oh, you've got to hit rock bottom to get back up, but you don't. It's like, learn from all these stories that we hear. Start now. You know, I love that idea that the best day to do something was yesterday, but the next best day is today.
Absolutely. And like, you know, like I said, the work that you do, the work that I do, it empowers people to live their best life. And as you mentioned, you don't need to hit rock bottom to be able to change your life. You might just feel that something doesn't feel right and you want to get more into being able to change your thought patterns. There's so much literature about how to do that. So, yeah, today is the perfect day to start.
Yeah. Well, with that, thank you so, so much for jumping on Self Dom today. You are incredible, a huge inspiration to me, and I feel so grateful I got to chat to you today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for the beautiful, beautiful conversation.
And if you don't, make sure you listen to A Life of Greatness. It's incredible. Her solo episodes are my favorite, and she also has incredible guests, so make sure you follow that. And of course, a little reminder, if you love this episode, make sure to share it on your socials because it makes my entire day seeing it. So with that, thank you, Sarah, and I'll see you on the next episode.